This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Welcome to all of you, a very special welcome to Rabbi David Lappin. And I'm not going to take too long to introduce our guest speaker, Rabbi David Lappin. But just to remind you, again, this is a special program, annual program that we have at the shul called FLASH. FLASH stands for Festive Learning at the Railroad Synagogue. And there's a lecture tonight, which is the practical art of miracle making. And there will be a lecture tomorrow night, 8 o'clock right here. And we're very, very honored and privileged to have Rabbi Lappin with us during Shabbat on Friday night. He will give the sermon in the shul. And there will be Friday night supper here. Those who didn't book, you can still have a chance to book tomorrow, just on the shul. And he will be with us throughout the whole Shabbat, and it's going to be something very, very special. I know it for a fact, because it hasn't been many, many times that I listened to Rabbi Lappin, but I spent many, many hours going to his website. It's called iAwaken.org, which I encourage each and every one of you to actually visit, because it's something really, really very, very worthwhile. So I don't want to take more time. Welcome to all of you again. Welcome to the rabbi and Bevakasha.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Hayon. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I'll give you a choice. Do you want me to speak for an hour, or do you want to learn how to make miracles? Can't do both. Can't do. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. Okay. So then, I'm going to then not talk a whole lot. You can do the work tonight, if you want to learn how to make miracles, because you've got to start practicing. It can be done. Would you like to know how to do it? Okay. I was thinking the thought for a moment that you weren't that interested. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do, the first exercise in the making of miracles, is going to be to tell me what a miracle is. Any suggestions? What is a miracle? Okay, something unexpected is a miracle. Something you hope for, and it happens unexpectedly, you would say, is a miracle. Okay.
Something that defies the laws of nature.
Something that defies the laws of nature would be a miracle. So, for example. Okay, I'm not doing that tonight. Okay, so we're not splitting the Red Sea tonight. That's not on the program tonight. So you're setting high expectations. Something that happens without understanding the cause. Without understanding the cause. I said we've got quite a lot of different views as to what miracles are. Anybody else? Something that happens at the time that you need it to happen would be a miracle. So these are all quite very good definitions of miracles. It's quite a spectrum of expectation. I'm going to define a miracle as a coincidence that serves a purpose. How does that sound? It's a coincidence that serves a purpose. If it's a coincidence that doesn't serve a purpose, then it's just a coincidence. If it serves a purpose, if it's a coincidence, it means we don't understand the causality, otherwise it wouldn't be a coincidence. It means it happens unexpectedly, otherwise it wouldn't be a coincidence. It fits all the definitions you gave me, except this lady who wants to see the Red Sea split. And we said, that's not going to happen. So apart from that, it fits all the definitions. So a miracle then, let's consider for the moment, a miracle being a coincidence that serves a purpose. The next question that we're going to look at is, that there's an angle to a miracle. A miracle doesn't get you out of trouble. A miracle isn't there to do your work for you. A miracle is not a crutch, and a miracle is not a lifeboat. A miracle is the creation of an opportunity that you are free to take or not take. So if you expect miracles to be things like splitting the Red Sea and so on, you might be disappointed, you might not experienced them in your lifetime. But if you accept that a miracle is a coincidence that serves a purpose and opens the possibility of an opportunity, that's all it does. And it's for you to take the opportunity. If you expect a miracle to be a lot more than that, then it doesn't really work. So what we're going to do then, if we're going to talk about coincidences and purposes, I'm going to start off teaching you how to notice them. Because the big sad thing about miracles is they often happen and you don't even notice. You're not even aware. In fact, one could even imagine some people not noticing the Red Sea split. They might notice the Red Sea split, but could you imagine somebody going past the Red Sea as it splits and saying, "Huh, what a coincidence." Could you imagine that? I could imagine that. What a coincidence. Happened to split at the right time. So sometimes just by using the word coincidence, we avoid really understanding the extent of the drama of a miracle. So the first thing we're going to do is learn how to notice a miracle. Now, if a miracle is a coincidence that serves a purpose, then it's important to have a purpose. Because if you don't have a purpose, there can't be a miracle. So if we're going to create miracles, the first thing you've got to make sure is that you have a purpose. And that's not very difficult to do, but you'll be surprised how many people, if I were to ask them, what is your purpose? If I were to ask you that question now, how many people could answer that immediately? My purpose is to... Who could answer that? No one. That's why you don't see miracles. Because you don't even know what your purpose is. So the very first thing you're going to have to do is get a better grip on what your purpose is. And the Mesilat Yesharim defines it a little bit more specifically than purpose. Mesilat Yesharim, famous work by Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, says in his opening, very, very famous opening words, that the foundation of all spiritual achievement is for a person, leda ma chovato be'olamo. What is his obligation? What is his responsibility in the world? So in spirituality, they talk about purpose. I want to go further than purpose. We don't just talk about purpose. We talk about obligation, responsibility. Because if God has given you assets, that creates responsibility, obligation. Would you agree? Okay. If the boss gives you assets and puts them at your disposal, they're not there just to sit around. He expects you to do something with it. How many people in this room have assets? Everybody in this room has assets. So we all are sitting on God's assets and don't know what He wants us to do with them. And then we say, why aren't there any miracles? Of course there won't be a miracle, because if He made a miracle, we wouldn't even notice it, because we don't know what we're supposed to be doing here. So I'm going to ask you, as the first exercise tonight, is to figure out what your purpose is. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to go about that, figuring out what your purpose is? So I'll give you two ways to do it. That's everybody's purpose. Tikkun Olam is the general purpose of everybody. But what are you doing towards that? What is your particular purpose? I want to be very defined. Yeah, very clear and defined. You don't have to. Not everybody's going to have to share it with us. Maybe some people will want to, and that's fine. But I'm going to show you how to define. Of course, you all have different purposes. Absolutely, you all have different purposes. Totally clearly defined. Can't make miracles if your purpose isn't clearly defined. Now, some of you won't get to that this evening. You won't get to it right away. But it's worth a bash. Some of you will. And once you've got your purpose defined, then you can, a whole lot of things become a lot clearer. Now, there are two ways that you can develop purpose. And I think I'm going to show them both to you. So don't worry if it doesn't work the first round. The first way I'm going to show you may or may not work for you. And it doesn't matter if it does or it doesn't. But you've got to be open to doing some things you've never done before. Are you ready? You didn't expect this. You expected me just to come and listen to a lecture, probably. Do any of you have pencil and paper? No. Okay, you can try and do it without pencil and paper. If you've got pencil and paper, it works a little better. What I'm going to ask you to do is to get your conscious mind to stop working. And that's easier than it sounds. Some of you will succeed, some of you won't, and it doesn't matter. So sometimes you need to practice this a little bit before you succeed. Some of you may have practiced this before and will be very comfortable doing it and will go quite easily. So don't worry if it doesn't work. There's another way to figure out your purpose too, but we'll try them both. So the first one is, I'm going to ask you to stop your conscious mind working. What happens when your conscious mind stops working? What happens? There's a possibility. I'm going to show you how not to fall asleep. Your subconscious starts working. That's all that happens, is your subconscious starts working. And let's see whether your subconscious gives you your purpose. That's going to be the first thing that we try. I know some of you are looking at me very cynically. It's okay, I'm used to it. So we're going to turn off your conscious mind, and then we're going to see whether your subconscious mind is going to be able to do anything. I'm not going to hypnotize you, don't worry. Relax. Now, the way you're going to do this, you don't have to do this. This is perfectly voluntary. Don't feel obligated. You can sit and watch. But imagine missing the opportunity to discover your purpose and make miracles. But that's up to you. If you're going to participate, then you're going to need, in order to make sure that when your subconscious turns off, you don't fall asleep, you're going to have to sit on the edge of your chair, not leaning back. If you lean back, you'll fall asleep. So you sit forward. You sit on the edge of your chair with your 2 feet planted firmly on the ground. So you're sitting, you're not using the back support, you're sitting, you're using your own body support. Your own spine is supporting you. And you put your hands on your thighs, or on your knees. And you sit very upright. So now we're sitting at the edge of the chair, sitting upright, shoulders back, chest out. And what we're going to ask you to do is close your eyes and just breathe. Now I'm going to tell you, before you start, let me tell you how to breathe. And all you're going to do is breathe, and you're going to find that very relaxing. And you're going to focus all your attention on your breathing. All your attention on your breathing. You're not going to think about anything else. If you start, your mind starts drifting, just bring it back to your breathing. Just gently, just instruct yourself. Focus on the breathing. Focus on the breathing. So what you're going to do is you're going to breathe very slowly in. Hold your breath for a second, and even more slowly out, very slowly and controlled out. The second time, you're going to take a bigger breath. Open up your chest, take air in, hold it there a little bit, very slowly let it out. You do it again, very slowly in, take a big breath, even bigger, and hold it in, keep your eyes closed, and focus all your attention on feeling the breathing. Just feel the air coming in through your nostrils. Feel it in your lungs, feel your lung expanding, feeling your stomach moving out as you take in the air. Hold it, feel your lungs full, and then very slowly exhale and feel the air coming out. And focus all your attention on the breathing. Just keep on bringing your attention back to the breathing. Get distracted, you hear a sound, somebody coughs, you notice the cough, you bring your attention back to the breathing. Just very gently, just focus on the breathing, and you'll find that very relaxing, very soothing. And if you're sitting upright, check all the time that you're upright. Your shoulders back, your head's up, don't let yourself stoop and droop. Be upright and firm and just very slowly breathe in. Hold your breath. Out. Focusing your attention on your breath all the time. You're going to do this for a few minutes. It's going to feel like a long time. It's okay. Focus, bring your attention back to your breathing, feel the air. As you breathe out, just feel the tension being exhaled from your body. Just relax your body and feel the tension being exhaled and take a new breath of fresh air. Hold it in, slowly out. Mind drifts, bring it back gently, just to focus on the breathing. Keep on bringing it back. It's natural for your mind to drift. You bring it back. Drifts again, you bring it back. That movement is normal. All your attention on the breathing. Feel your nostrils, feel your lungs, feel your stomach. Check that you're upright, head back, shoulders back, spine upright. Keep focused a little longer. Deeply in, slowly out. Now, as you carry on breathing, stay breathing, breathing in and out. I'm going to ask you to start a sentence and see what are the first words that come to your mind after you've said the words that I'm going to tell you to say. So you'll start the sentence, and then you're just going to see what are the first words that come to your mind. You'll notice those words. Even if they don't make sense, you just notice them. Focus on the breathing again. Deep in. Feel your lungs full, and your shoulders back, head up. Relax as you exhale. Okay, the sentence you're going to complete starts, the purpose of my life is to... Don't think, just whatever words come to your mind. And then gently open your eyes. Okay, now the words that you captured there, the purpose of my life is to... might make sense to you, might not make sense to you, or maybe no words came to your mind. Okay? If words came to your mind, hold on to them. They'll be valuable and they'll be important. I will use a rational, conscious method to do it. And you'll see which one works for you. The rational, conscious method is the following. God has given each of us assets, as we've established. He's given each of us different assets. He's given us the assets we need to fulfill our purpose. He hasn't given us assets we don't need, and He hasn't missed giving us assets that we do need. Since we all have different purposes, He gives us a different bundle of assets. So now what you look at is you say, what have I got? And particularly, what have I got different from other people? What have I got unique? What are some of my talents? What are some of my skills? What are some of my abilities? What are some of the assets that I've got that other people might not have? And what do you think God wants me to do with them? Ask yourself that. So list your assets in your mind. It would have been good to have pencil and paper, but I didn't think of it in time. So in the absence of pencil and paper, you're going to have to just use your mind to list your assets. Preferably those assets that are different from what other people have got. Physical or non-material assets. Doesn't matter if it's physical assets, that's also an asset. If it's intelligence, skill, particular talents, particular way of thinking, experiences, life experiences, where you've come from, what you've lived through, what makes you, what have you got that you can bring that is different from what others have? And just start listing that in your mind. Just go through your mind. Spend a few moments listing a few of the key things that make you different from other people. And give that some thought. List them in your mind. Sometimes an asset feels like a negative thing. Sometimes a person has suffered. But that suffering gives you a perspective on life that others don't have. That's important. You've gone through a trauma in your life. That trauma has given you a perspective that others don't have. So you're now taking some of your key assets and you're saying, why did God give this to me? What does He want from me? And some of you will be able to see a pattern and say, particularly if you move away from what you want. This is not about ambition and dreams and desires. This is an objective exercise. If you were somebody else advising yourself, and you told yourself, these are the assets of God, what do you think God wants from me? Figure out what your answer would be. Sometimes it's very obvious, and sometimes it's not so obvious. What skills, what talents, what life experience, what material assets have you got that make you different from other people? And now in a very honest way, say to yourself, if that's what I've got, this is what I ought to be doing. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm not asking you to undertake to do it. I'm just asking you to identify what you think you could do to make the world a better place with the assets you've got. It might be small. It might be dramatic. It doesn't have to be a big thing. For some people, it might be a small thing. For some people, it might be a very big thing. But something that you think only you can do. Something that other people can't do the same way as you can. Okay, are some of you being able to put this together? Okay, some of you are getting it? Starting to say, wow, okay, if this is what God has given me, there's something I could do with all of this that others. Now, some of you might have got it the irrational way, the subconscious way. Some of you might get it the conscious way. And some of you, there might be a meeting point where when you said, my purpose is to, so anybody who had that experience, when you said, my purpose is to, you got one picture, and now when I'm giving you the rational analysis way, you're getting a picture that fits. Anybody got that? How many people by raising your hands? You're getting a different picture. Sorry? Supplementary is good. Okay? So that's great. If both ways you're getting the same outcome, then you're getting onto something very, very clear. Those of you who are not getting anything at all, don't worry. Try it again tomorrow. Sometimes you need to practice this. You need to give it time. You might need more time than we've got just to spend a few minutes on it. You might want to do it with pencil and paper. You might need a very quiet space where nobody interrupts you, where you're not sitting in a crowd of people. It's not that easy to do it in a room full of people. But I've given you the method. Some of you are already getting it, and some of you will get it if you apply yourselves to it. When you're home, you have a quiet time, preferably not at night, preferably do it in the morning. Take a time when you won't be disturbed. Give yourself the space to think in these ways. Exactly the discipline that I've given you will give you a sense of a purpose. Those of you who are beginning to get that purpose, are you seeing it already as a sense of obligation and responsibility? Do you see what I'm saying? If God has given me these things, and I'm beginning to get the possibility, then this is more than just a purpose. This is actually a responsibility that I should be doing. Okay, are you there with me? Anybody there with me? Okay, good. Okay, very, very good. Now let's go to the next level. The next level is hard. Okay, this was easy. The next level is, and again, if you don't get it tonight, you can do it anytime you want. What is the Hebrew word for miracle? Right, nes. Any word related to nes that comes to mind? No, not nifla. No, a word with the same root? Nisayon. What does nisayon mean? A test. What's the connection between the two words? Yes, absolutely. And nes, therefore, a miracle is a test. Miracles aren't just easy things. Miracles are themselves challenging. So a miracle is a test. What is the nature of the test of a miracle? Yes, and nes is a banner as well. So you're right, you're beginning to clarify what you're about, because if you're not clear about what you're about, you don't even notice the miracles. There's that sense of the banner. The nisayon, the trial is, will I respond to it? If a nes is the creation of an opportunity, then you're going to take the opportunity. Now, what's the problem with taking opportunities? Risk. There's risk. Because what do you need to do to take an opportunity?
Courage.
Why do you need courage? Because it's an opportunity. Why do you need courage?
You don't want
to. So the fear of failure is one of them. Fear is, what is the challenge? The challenge of doing it and possibly failing, but there's something else too to taking a risk. What is that?
Inevitable
You need the initiative, not only that. Succeed. All that is right, but I'm looking for something else. Unknown. Well, you see, to take an opportunity, you've actually got to drop other stuff. You've got to recognize, firstly, you've got to recognize that it's an opportunity, and then you've actually got to drop other stuff that you're doing. It's even, yeah, it's more than discipline. It's, you're going to have to make sacrifices. Absolutely, you're going to have to make sacrifices. It's all very well saying there's a risk, if there's an opportunity. If you have an opportunity to go into a new business, thank you, that might have to mean you have to leave your secure job. Oh, am I up to that? So the question is, am I up to taking the challenge of a miracle? So miracles don't come to fearful people. If you're afraid, miracles don't happen. Miracles only happen if you're courageous enough to take the miracle on and to pursue it. Otherwise, the miracle isn't going to happen at all. And sometimes we have to demonstrate that courage before we even do. So here's the next test. Really hard. I'm going to ask you again. Sorry. You're right. All I'm suggesting, I'm not suggesting that every time a coincidence happens you must pursue it, but I am suggesting if you're not up to it, don't ask for it. If you're not ready for it, then it's not miracle time. So if you're attached to your secure job, then don't ask for new opportunities for investments and businesses. Because you're holding on to the old. If you're holding on to the old, you're not going to get the new. So one of the difficult things in miracles is a willingness to let go. Now, I'm not saying you must be willing to let go. I'm just saying if you're not willing to let go of certain things, don't ask for miracles in that area because you're not ready for them. And they won't work for you. So there are limitations as to where miracles apply. Now, I'm going to ask you, those of you who are able to start identifying a sense of purpose, to give a moment of thought to whether you would be willing to drop anything that isn't taking you closer to that purpose. Okay? Well, it can't be a higher purpose. If you're looking at a higher purpose, you're saying, what does God want me to do? God doesn't want you to interfere with the rights of others, so then you're on the wrong purpose. If your purpose is one of interfering in the rights of others. So let us assume that you're talking about a higher purpose, and a purpose, therefore, if it's in your view, what God wants of you, taking into account your talents and your assets, if God wants this of you, then one assumes it's a higher purpose. Now I'm going to ask those of you who have a sense of that purpose, and you must just be honest with yourself. It doesn't matter if your answer is no, I'm not yet ready. It's fine. At least you're conscious of it, you're aware. What's important is that you know the answer to the question. Are you willing to let go of any activity that isn't furthering your purpose in life? Just sit with that for a moment. Those of you who don't yet have a purpose, ask yourselves theoretically, if you knew your purpose, would you be willing to let go of anything that doesn't further your purpose? Okay, just think of that for a moment. If my purpose is clear, am I willing to let go of any activity that doesn't further my purpose? Not my interests, my purpose. There's a very big difference between a purpose and an interest. Interest is about myself, purpose is about the world and God. It's hard to. And I wouldn't say you can't, it's hard to. If you're evolved, then your interests and your purpose will be more aligned. If you're in an ego space, then you'll say, wow, this is a bit of a tension. And my purpose is like to go and work with poor people in Darfur. I think that's my real purpose. Am I willing to give up my life in Cape Town and go and work with poor people? I'm not sure that I'm actually willing to do that. So at least you need to be honest with that. So I've got as far as defining my purpose. I do not yet have the courage to pursue that purpose. That's okay. At least we know it. Yes, idealism that is irresponsible would be, it's unlikely that God's purpose for you is one that would undermine your responsibility to the people around you. Yeah. Yes, you've got to be out of ego. You've got to have looked at your assets and talents and thought in terms of making the world better and God's expectations, and that means everything. You've got to take everything into account, assets and responsibilities. So it doesn't help saying, for example, I'm married with a lot of little children and my assets are such that I think my purpose is to go on a 2-year cruise around the world. That's probably not right. Yes, if you have responsibilities that make going to Darfur an impossibility, that make an irresponsibility, then that is not your purpose. God will not give you a purpose that requires you to neglect your responsibilities in order to fulfill. On the contrary, your purpose and your responsibilities are very closely linked. So if you're tied to little children, for example, your purpose at the moment, at this stage in your life, is probably something to do with those little children. So you've got to be able to look at it in terms of where your responsibilities are. Yeah.
Rabbi, can you see a case where somebody who is fearful is actually forced into a situation to move forward and to let
yes.
go of the things that are holding that person back?
Sometimes if we don't let go voluntarily, God, if He loves us, turns on the pressure until we do let go.
And then we discover things that we didn't know before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That happens to in its ultimate form in death. And we hang on and hang on and hang on, and eventually God says, come on, come on, come on, come on, time to go. Let go. And it happens many times in life, that you're hanging on to something, and if you don't have the strength to let go yourself, God sometimes turns on the pressure to cause you to let go, and then you have a moment of panic, and then a kind of a whole new reality opens, and you say, wow, actually it's much better off here than I thought it was, or than anything that I feared it was. So now, where have we got to now? We've said, I've identified my purpose. I am willing to let go of any activity that is not furthering my purpose. Okay? If any of you are that far, then you're getting close to the miracle making. If you're not yet that far, you know what to do in order to get there. So that's the nisayon. The test is, there's a price to pay for a miracle. The price is a willingness to let go of, or a possible need to let go of one thing in order to pursue something new. Let's go a little bit further. Think of some of the miracles. So you said splitting the Red Sea. How did splitting the Red Sea happen? What did they have to do to split it? They had to walk up to their necks. Okay, so you've got a question, am I willing to do that? A miracle will not happen to get over your own laziness and complacency. If you've pushed yourself as far as you can go, and you know where you're going, and you're willing to let go of things that aren't developed, that aren't fulfilling your purpose, then the possibilities of a miracle becomes a whole lot clearer. Now comes the easy part of the miracle. If you've got this far, then the rest becomes very, very easy. What did we say the other important word? We've dealt with purpose. What was the other important part of our definition of miracle? Coincidence. So now we've dealt with the purpose side, which is the hard side. Now we're ready to have a look at coincidence. Now coincidence you'll only recognize if you know what you're expecting and what you're not. Otherwise you won't even notice that it's a coincidence. So there needs to be a certain amount of consciousness. So what I'm going to ask you to do, well, let's try this exercise first. I don't know if it will work, but it's worth a try. I would like you to take a few moments reflecting over your day today, starting from the moment you woke up, and try and remember details, even little details, the phone ringing, somebody walking in front of your car, all sorts of little details, what somebody was wearing. Just go through the day from the beginning until now, just reviewing the day, and check whether there was anything coincidental that happened to you. Somebody called that you weren't expecting, you bumped into somebody that you weren't expecting, you noticed something you'd never noticed before. Can you, as you go through today, but think very carefully in a lot of detail, think color, think smell, think sound, try and relive the day, and just check in whether there are any coincidences that you can recall.
talk you're giving, because this morning I had my physiotherapist and I can't walk, and I actually thought I broke the bone in my leg, because she was pushing me and I wanted to do it and I couldn't, and I thought, what am I going to do? And the fear was overcoming me, so of course I cried. And then I went back to bed, and I couldn't stand it anymore. My purpose in life is to be able to walk again. That's my purpose.
And what's the coincidence?
The coincidence is you coming and talking
about this very issue.
Yes.
Okay, so there you struggled with an issue this morning.
And also she gave me the exercise you've given us. I went into a meditation. And I've got this hand to move for the first time in 5 years.
Okay, so, and now you understand what happened. And now you understand what happened. What happened? What happened to you today? It was called a? Or what else? What other word would you give it? That's not physiotherapy, and that's not coincidence. That is?
Miracle.
That is miracle. Okay, that is miracle. You had a purpose. You accessed your subconscious. This was really important to you, and you learned that you're actually able to do it. It can happen. It can be done. You used your mind, you used your focused your concentration, you accessed your subconscious, and you moved an arm that was previously paralyzed. Okay, so that is something quite amazing. But anyway, anybody else with any other coincidences? You don't have to tell us what they are. Did anybody notice any coincidences during the day? Anyone? Can anybody think of a coincidence during their day today? You've got one? Anybody else got one? Two? Three? Four? Five? Six? Seven? How many of you noticed those coincidences before tonight? Realized that they were coincidences worthy of noting? One, two, three out of six. Four. Okay. Tonight. Today. Just today. Just today. Okay. Some of you have had coincidences today. Now, tomorrow, more of you are going to have coincidences, because you're going to be conscious of it and aware of it. What I'm going to ask you to do tomorrow is, well, before you even to be aware of the coincidences, I'm going to ask you to pray tomorrow morning. You don't have to even come to shul. I'm sure Rabbi Hayyam would be very happy if you did, but you don't have to. You can pray at home, and I'm not even talking about the formal prayers. It would be very nice if you prayed the formal prayers and you said the Shema, whatever you wish to say, and take some time doing what we did this evening, just relaxing, getting your subconscious, your conscious to slow down a little bit, just relax, so that your subconscious kicks in, and ask for guidance or for opportunity in respect of your purpose. So not just general stuff, try and be more focused. This is my purpose in life. This is a dilemma I have. This is what I'm struggling with at the moment. This is what I need guidance of. Be quite specific about what it is that you want God to give you guidance on. Okay. Write it down so that you don't forget it. This is what I need. This is what I'm looking for. Make a note of it. At the end of the day, if you don't do it tomorrow, it can be the next day. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It's just going to be exciting to try tomorrow. At the end of the day, before you go to sleep, do what we just did. Go through your day and make notes of coincidences. But even little tiny coincidences, just notice them. Doesn't matter if they look relevant or they don't. Just list the coincidences. And you might find none, and you might find one or two or three or more. Doesn't matter. Just list them. Do the same the second day. Do it for a few days running. And try and notice whether there's a correlation between what you asked for in the morning and any of the coincidences.
Does Judaism believe in coincidences, or don't they believe that things happen because it's beshert? What is the difference between beshert and a coincidence?
Well, it depends what beshert means. We're going to be talking about that on Shabbat afternoon. Human choice is not beshert. So anything we choose is our own choice. So that's not beshert. But coincidence is bashir, you're right. Coincidence means God is bringing something to our attention. That's what coincidence means. It's a way of communicating to us. If God does things that are normal and they happen every day, we don't notice them. There's no communication. So one of the ways God communicates is through coincidence. He communicates through pain, unfortunately, because we get the message when we're hurting, and he communicates through coincidence. So if you have aligned your purpose, so what have we done now? We've said, what is my purpose? And I've shown you how to get to purpose. Got a sense of my purpose. If this is my purpose, I need some guidance from you, God. Or I need some help. Not help to do your work for you. He's not going to solve your problems. He's not going to give you stuff. That's not what it's all about. It's about guidance. I need some guidance. And here's the area that I'm struggling in. And then at the end of the day, note the coincidences and check for correlation. And I'm pretty sure that some of you, this is not a guarantee for all of you, and it's not a guarantee for every day, but you will be surprised how many of you will start noticing correlation. And that is miracle. And you ask for guidance, and something happens that same day that gives you guidance and shows you direction, and you start noticing a pattern of that repeating constantly, you know you're in communication with God. You're talking, He's answering, you're getting some kind of area. Now we need to go a little bit further into some of the thinking behind it so that you get a sense of where this all comes from and why it's important. Yes. And Hashgacha Pratit is God taking care of you. And that is sometimes miraculous. That's protection. That's God taking care of you, making sure that you're safe and that you're okay. What we're talking about is something out of the ordinary, just sent in order to alert you to something, just to draw your attention to something. So coincidence is a much simpler thing than Hashgacha Pratit. It's just noticing that God is responding to you, God is answering. Because we keep on asking God for things in our prayers. How do you know what the answers are? What are you expecting? You're expecting to God to come in a heavenly voice? Expect to God to where are you expecting to get the answers from? So when we pray, what I'm showing you is one of the methods of finding answers to prayers. One of the ways we find answers to prayers is by checking coincidence and noticing whether there's correlation between what we're getting in the message of the coincidence and the prayer that we're asking for. Can anybody think of an example of where this has occurred to them? Where you've been in dilemma and something has happened, anything you can share? Okay.
Sometimes I might have a problem, a work problem, and I consult that problem and I might wake up in the middle of the night and that problem gets solved. So
okay.
The answer to the problem and I couldn't work it out in the day.
Good example. So your subconscious is able to work, it's able to get in touch with the wisdom of the world, which is Hashem himself and your own soul, and sometimes you find answers in your soul that you don't find in your head. Because your soul has all the wisdom you need to cope with any problem you faced. We don't have it in our conscious mind, but subconsciously you have all the wisdom you need to be able to solve the problems you need to solve, and you're sometimes able to access it that way. And that's what's happening. Yep. Well, a miracle is normal. When you start getting used to them, they're quite normal. No, nothing's random. Nothing in life, if you believe in God, nothing's random. The world is structured, there are reasons, there's causality, nothing is random. And the test is it relating to something you consciously thought before? So if you're struggling with something and you get a flash of inspiration that answers the thing you're struggling with, that you're in communication with God. If you're in dilemma and a coincidence occurs and that says, oh, that's interesting, look at the connection. That's, you're accessing an energy from God.
Weeks later.
Yes, sometimes it will be weeks later. Okay, and you keep sometimes when you have a dilemma you're dealing with, you keep on articulating it each morning. And sometimes it isn't the first day that it's answered. Sometimes it does take a week, a little bit of time. And you're right, sometimes it takes a long time later and all of a sudden something happens that deals with something that you were really struggling with or dealing with in a much earlier stage. Let's go one step further in understanding where this all comes from. And that is, The what is the word for coincidence in Hebrew? Sorry? Seruf mikrim, a coincidence, a convergence of occurrences. The important word there is mikre. Mikre is a chance happening. Mikre is something happens, a happening. How do you spell mikre? Mem kuf resh he. When God appears to Bilam, Bilam is a non-Jewish prophet, not a nice guy, but spiritual. He's connected. Not all spiritual people are good, and not all spiritual people are nice. And Bilam was a very spiritual people who wasn't a person who wasn't a very nice man, but he was able to connect with God. But when the Torah says that talks about the connection, God that writes it in the Torah as Vayaker, God chanced upon Bilam coincidentally. Appeared as coincidence. Even prophecy can appear to be coincidence. When God appears to Moshe, what word does it use? The beginning of the book of Vayikra, Vayikra Hashem el Moshe, Hashem calls, same root, Kuf Reish, Mikre and Kara. Vayaker in the case of Bilam, and Vayikra in the case of Moshe. If you look at the Vayikra in the beginning of the book of Vayikra, the Aleph at the end of Vayikra is written very small. And the reason for that, in the Torah, the reason for that is because Moshe was humble, and as he was taking dictation from God, and God said Vayikra, he felt bad that in his case it was Vayikra, God calling to him, and in Bilam's case it was Vayaker, God coincidentally appeared to him. And it appeared as if he has this very great relationship with God, and he was embarrassed by the Aleph. It kind of made more sense to him to write Vayaker, so that as if it was also coincidence. So, you know, if somebody very great comes to visit you, and I say, wow, really, did Bill Gates come to your house? And you say, well, he's just passing by, it wasn't clear. Like, you know, you're trying to make it like it wasn't a big thing, it just so happened that way, because you might be embarrassed to say, yes, you know him personally, and he's a good friend of yours. So that time when Moshe was writing, he wrote Vayaker because it seemed embarrassing to say, God called upon me. God invited me. I got an invitation from God. That's kind of boasting. So he said, Vayaker, it so happened that we met. It so happened that we intersected. So there is, these two words are very important to understand the difference between them. I'll come to you in a sec. Vayaker and Vayikra. The difference between those two words is what? Is Aleph. The only difference is an Aleph. Now, you know how an aleph is made up. Can you picture an aleph in your mind? An aleph is made up of three letters. Not yud, hey? Yud, yud, vav. Okay? Two yuds, two little yuds, and a diagonal vav. How much does that add up to? 26. And what's important about... No, 26 that would add up to. And what about God's name? How much does God's name add up to? Yud, K, Vav, K, 26. So an Aleph has within its form, the way it's written, it has God's name, it has the numeric value of God's name. What's important about an Aleph? What sound does it make? It doesn't make a sound. If you want to hear God's voice, shut up. Don't make a sound. Because if you're busy making a noise, you won't hear God. Because God doesn't yell. God doesn't shout. God talks very, very silently, very quietly. And you've got to be able to still your own noise, still the noise around you. The television's in the background, you're not going to hear God. If there are people making a noise all over the place, you're not going to hear God. If your mind is making a noise, your conscious mind is busy rattling around in your head and you're thinking all over the place, you're not going to hear God. You've got to get into that state of that silent Aleph to be able to convert a coincidence into kara, into a calling. There's a big difference between a calling and a coincidence. But in Hebrew, the difference is just an Aleph. Between a calling and a coincidence. A coincidence can become a calling if you listen. And the way to listen it is to listen is to be conscious, and you're conscious because of what you thought in the morning, when you thought, this is what I'm focused on, this is my issue. And it's not my personal issue, we're not talking about the personal issues, that Sometimes God answers and sometimes he doesn't. We're talking about my issues around my greater purpose. This is what you want from me in life, God. I'm dedicated to it. I'm willing to leave. I'm willing to surrender and detach from anything that doesn't take me to my purpose. But I need some help. When you're in that frame of mind, you notice during the day the images and the messages of help that you get. It's very interesting. We've just finished Hanukkah. What does it say on the Sivivon? Nes Gadol Haya?
Sham Opo.
What's the difference? Yeah, Nes Gadol Haya Sham is, you know, some people have miracles. And Nes Gadol Haya Po is? I am a miracle. My life is a miracle. That's what one has to be able to do, is to be able to move from Nes Gadol Haya Sham. Instead of looking around the world and saying, wow, the sunset's a miracle, and this is a miracle, and that's a miracle. I am a miracle. That's our starting point. Then I can start listening. When I acknowledge that I am a miracle, my life is a miracle, the story of my life is a miracle, the connections, the people I meet are miracles, the opportunities I've had are miracles. I haven't always taken them. I haven't always gone through the doors that have opened up in front of me. But it's miracles, miracles, miracles. Nes Gadol Haya Po. Right here with me was a Nes Gadol. It's quite interesting. Let's try looking at the numeric value of Sham and Po and see what we come out with. What is the numeric value of Sham? Shin is 300 and Mem is 40. 340. What is the numeric value of Po? 85. So let's take Po out of Sham. Let's subtract Po from Sham. You subtract 85 from 340. You will get 255. I'll make it easy for you. You'll get 255. 255 is Rina. And Rina is the joy of life. The joy of life is when you stop saying Nes Gadol Haya Sham and you start saying Nes Gadol Haya Po. You understand? This is where the miracles happen. They happen right inside, with me, at me, in me, all the time. All I need is to still my mind just a little bit so that I can call to God and He can answer and I can hear, and then I get the miracles. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.